This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. Due to some technical difficulties and me being sick, we're just now getting this episode uploaded. This episode was recorded last Monday, the day Bill Walton passed. We touched on that in the episode, and I definitely fumbled through it with no intended disrespect. So with that, we say RIP to the multiple former athletes we have lost in the last couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and we'll be back soon next week.
Yeah, you need an initial hole. I don't care if my pants get wet. Where's the lid?
Welcome in to Keep It About Ball, bitch.
Just a splash.
Shitbag lizard people.
Yeah, bro, QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, yeah, when you crunch numbers, who the fuck's Jeff?
All right, welcome into the show. I'm Zach, and I'm here with Brady and Reed, my pals and partners. This is ZBR the Zebra. Gentlemen, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Right. I don't know if you guys know, but we are only 14 weeks away from football season. Very exciting stuff. Yeah, I know. We will get into fantastic. Some football. It's Memorial Day here, and we're going to get into these NBA Conference Finals, the Royals, some Dynasty trade talk. But before we do all that, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show wherever you're listening from, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or however. Being a small podcast, every subscriber and listener means a lot to us. So thank you for being here if you are. So today we're talking Conference Finals and a little bit about the Royals at the end of the episode. Like I said, some Dynasty trade talk too. But before we start, I'm sure by the time this comes out, you've probably heard NBA legend Bill Walton passed today. So, you know, RIP to him and the best wishes to him and his family. Or not, I guess just to his family, not to him. That shit. But yeah, best wishes to all of them. You know, can't talk NBA without mentioning the passing of a legend like that. So, yeah, best wishes to his family. But,
yeah.
So, going forward here, let's not waste any more time. I know the fans are excited to hear our T-Wolves Cancun predictions, so I'll go ahead and go first. So on a one-week stay, I'm taking Anthony Edwards over 29.5 women in his hotel room. Anthony Edwards to run up at least one 10K tab at minus 230. It's a bit juicy, but you know it's a total lock. And so then I also have Rudy Gobert over 87.5. How tall are yous from locals and tourists both at plus 120? And then I also have Cat. I have a total lock with Cat. I'm taking over 8.5 voice slips on the week at minus 103. He's averaged about one slip a day in 8 of the last 9 weeks. And in just the last week, he has 2 days with multiple voice slips, one of those days being 4, which is just shy of his personal best at 5. So 8.5 in over a week span, especially when you think about he's going to be drinking, he's not going to be locked in. It's a total lock, and it's stealing from the books, in my opinion. Smash this bet before the books adjust and build that bankroll. So, Reed, I have the suicide hotline number for you ready to go. But before I give that to you, what are your Cancun predictions for the T-Wolves here?
First things first, I would like to say my friends are generational trollers, sure. You can go fuck yourself. Just sum it up. But not looking good. We could sit here and nitpick it and break down this this series and this game, but Mavs clearly the better team. For the most part, Cat really shooting the team out of the game. Had a really great first two series, was huge in the last series against the Nuggets, and then has had a generational stinker of a three-game stretch, especially three-point percentage-wise, if any of you guys have seen that stuff floating around the Twitter sphere.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to miss.
You know, Ant finally had a pretty solid game three, especially compared to the first two that were just, you know, part of the reason they lost. But I'm going to say it. You guys are going to love this. Wolves in seven until it's not.
Hey.
Wolves in seven until it's not.
I love it.
I've been riding this wave, having fun with it, regardless of if they get swept or not. It's been fun. They'll be back next year. Ant 22, McDaniels 23, Nasri 24. Gobert's still locked up for 2 more years. Cat's got another 4.
Please.
Conley just got extended for 2 more.
Back with Cat.
I think. You run it back one more year because Cat wasn't even healthy coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, and at the end of the last series, I think everyone on this show actually was talking about how clutch Cat was to finish out that series and how he really stepped up late in that series to help end it, though. So you got to take that into consideration, too.
The one game, yeah, in particular, for sure, but, like, I've been telling Reed for I don't know how long that they need to be trading Cat for other pieces, regardless of whether he stepped up or not.
Well, they were the number one seed most of the year when he was healthy. Then he gets hurt, misses 18 games. They would have been the one seed if Cat didn't have to have meniscus surgery and didn't get hurt.
Okay,
100% would have been the one seed.
Dallas. Then they would have had to play Dallas a round before, and then they would have got bounced in the second round. I mean,
maybe.
Wouldn't have mattered. Maybe. They would have still had home court regardless at 1 or 3 seed. Dallas is the 5. It wouldn't have mattered. Mavs clapped that ass, so
different scenario. Doesn't necessarily mean it plays out the same.
I mean, the way I see how it plays out the same as Cat's, I mean, the moment's too big for him, obviously. He's just clunking it out there, and then Anthony Edwards, his future is really bright. I like him as a player, but he kind of just, inexperienced in the situation.
If they get bounced, I'm not too worried about it. Wolves back next year. Back better.
Oh, dope. I think they have a good future. I just think if you trade Cat, you can get out of that contract, you can get a lot more pieces to build around Anthony Edwards, maybe get him an actual true co-star to, like,
they don't
rely on, you know?
Well, they're so young. McDaniels is still developing, Naz Reed, and they don't have to move off of Cat after this season.
Pieces.
He's still under contract, like, 4 more years.
I'm just saying I wouldn't pick Cat and rely on him going forward. I would trade him.
My thing about it is I say run it at least 1 more year, run it back.
How many more years? I mean, you said you got Cat for 4 more years?
I believe so.
Yeah, I have to agree with Reed here. I think you run it back with Cat one more time. If you've got 4 more years, because like Reed's saying, you've got those young guys that are still getting better, and if you got to factor in if they're going to be better next year, if Cat can just stay as good as he was, that might be enough to get them to win, like, a conference finals and get to the finals next year.
I just think plus, Naz Reed's capable of doing everything Cat's been doing even better. Like, he's the reason we're even in the games. You could replace him with Naz Reed and his production and get players, around. Like, dude, no. Like, I would not pick Cat. I mean, obviously we're going to disagree on this, but...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm not quite there.
You know how I feel about Cat. So, yeah, I feel you. I get that.
Yep. All right, well, I think we covered that there. So over in the East, my Celtics are taking care of business as they should. I'm looking at you, Reed. Once Halliburton got hurt, I feel like it kind of pretty well became for a lock as a sweep, even though Indiana has kind of kept it close in a couple of games, even that game 3 after he was hurt. But, we came through when we had to. Tatum was clutch. Jrue Holiday was clutch. Guys stepped up. It was a good sign. But honestly, I just don't have a whole lot to take away from it. And a whole lot to say here, because like I said last week, I think our season kind of starts in the finals, and that's kind of still how I feel, especially with how this series has gone so far. So I guess, Brady, you go first. What's been your takeaways from this series so far?
Not much, really. Boston's just been the better team. Halliburton's banged up. I see the Pacers at 4 right now, but I expect Boston to more than likely close it out. I think everyone expected Boston to kind of roll through the East, and that's exactly what they're doing. Pacers, though, I mean, they got some young pieces. They'll be back. I like Halliburton. But yeah, no, nothing really. Other than just Boston's that much more talented, better coached, just better all around. And honestly, it's just their time. They're in their primes, and you know, these most of the Pacers players are like in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boston. Boston should sweep this.
Yeah. Reed?
All right. So, my thoughts on the series and Boston's playoff run so far. Yeah, a lot of people expected them to pretty much steamroll to the East. The team they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, they have almost 20 more wins than. So,
yeah.
You should win this series with two...
Yeah.
All defense team guards, top seven MVP voting, Jason Tatum, stud,
yeah.
Jaylen Brown. Porzingis not there, but he'll be healthy for the finals. When you're a team of that caliber, all those, when you're a team that caliber, all those players, you should win. You should go to the finals. There's no reason. And nobody thought that they would have played so many injury plagued teams, and I don't. Look at that as an excuse at all. It's part of the game. You know, if you play a team that's hurt, you play a team that's hurt. I mean, the Pacers played no Giannis and only Dame played half the games. You know, it's out of control. You know, you play the hand you're dealt and do your best with it. But series should be over tonight. It's looking like Pacers might pull one out, but they've looked like that every game, blown it. So
actually, haven't done a score check since we started recording. What's it at right now?
89-85. Yeah. Challenge going on.
10 minutes to go. 10-13, yeah.
Yep. Well, hopefully Boston, they do go ahead and finish it out here, come through, because the, you know, more amount of break time before the finals, the better. So, at least for them. Maybe not for us, but for them, I would say so. So, I guess, what are we at here? Let's go ahead and touch on the Royals here real quickly. So, since we talked about the Royals last week, they've kept their hot streak alive. Went ahead and swept Detroit in three games after sweeping the A's, which we talked about last time. In all three games against the Tigers, they scored 8 or more runs and only allowed 3 runs in all three games. They also took the first two against Tampa, 8-1 and 7-4, before ending that win streak. Against the Devil Rays, 4-1. They lost today again to the Twins, 6-5, which sucks, you know, dropping games against the Twins is an easy way to let them right back into the division and, you know, get them right back in the thick of things again. So I think it's pretty important they win these next two games. The Guardians, you know, also, during this hot streak have had a nine-game win streak, going themselves. So... Casey hasn't really been able to, like, you know, tie the division or take the lead of it. They've just kind of been hanging around, which, I mean, when you consider the other option, is pretty good, because that's a spot where Cleveland could have really, like, pulled away if, you know, Kansas City wasn't hot or something like that. So, and they didn't, though, so that's good. How are we feeling post-hot streak about the Royals and going forward from here, guys?
Feeling good. The record's looking nice. Yeah, they almost came back tonight and did it. Scored 4 of their 5 runs in the top of the ninth and tried to mount a miracle win. And would have been really cool to see. Would have loved it, but not to be.
These Royals have some juice. For sure.
Great. Yeah, I'd like to see them finish out the series here with the Twins strong. You can't let the Twins back in, right? I mean, they're already creeping on your tails, and they were on a hot streak. And honestly, they're going to have their ups and downs. They're a young team, but they will be in the thick of things, you know, all year. So, looks like they play the Padres after the Twins series. So, I'm excited for Royals baseball. And they do, after that Padres series, they will have the Guardians. Early June, so that'll be interesting.
It's gonna be a big series.
They match up.
It's gonna be a big series.
That'll be I'm excited for that one for sure.
I will definitely be listening to all those games.
Yeah. try to catch a couple of them if I can. They're early starts, though. One's in the afternoon, but yeah.
Yep. Is, you know, and I'm actually, I was, long story, I won't get into it, but there was a chance a couple weeks ago that I was going to end up passing through Kansas City today, and I was thinking about, I checked the Royals to see what time they played. I was like, if they play an evening game, I'm going to go. But of course, they played in the afternoon, and plus, I didn't end up having to go that way anyways, and I'm kind of glad because they lost, so I would have wanted to go on the day they won. But, all right, so we're going to go ahead and take our first break here, and when we come back, we're going to get into some Dynasty trade talk. I think this is going to be pretty fun, and I think maybe potentially fairly informative for you and your leagues if you're thinking about, you know, how to value certain picks. You're, I think, going to get three different perspectives on a couple of different scenarios, so definitely something to tune in for. We'll be right back.
Zach, do you think we're going to get a trade done on the pod?
That's a really good question, but I actually doubt it. So let me pull up what I had here about these trades. So,
Are you about to turn into a stat sheet nerd?
I wouldn't say
Did you find something? Out there?
No, but I just kind of thought about the trade a little bit. So originally tonight we were just going to talk NBA and Royals, but we've all been in trade talks, right? Well, not all of us. I guess I don't know if you two have had a trade going on with each other or not, but I've been in a talk with both Brady and both Reed, so I thought we'd bring it up. So I guess Reed's offer first. I think it was on the show I'd expressed interest in Zaire Franklin to, you know, help out my IDP section since we expanded that this year. And I think I did throw out, I think it was originally my idea, I threw out the idea of like a second round pick for him. And, you know,
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I specifically like wanted your second round pick, like, and I threw Zaire out as a name.
Okay. So maybe that's how it happened. Okay. But, I remember I was fairly on board with it. You know, I needed to think about it, but I thought it sounded good. Back to thinking about it, I was like, would have been a bad deal. And you, Reed, what did I counter you with? I think it was a second, a fifth, and an eighth, right?
I think it ended up being like, my offer ended up being, because you didn't like, I think, Zaire first. No, I don't remember. All I know is it ended up being Zaire and a second and a fourth round pick. Yeah.
So we can get it right. Because they should all be populated right in here since they're recent. Or actually, just go to messages, I suppose.
Yeah, I offered Zaire,
your
second and fourth round pick.
Yeah, 408 and 206. So I think I responded to you on Snap. I don't think I officially countered it. Guess I didn't because it's not here. But I asked you on Snap. I think I said a second, a fifth, and an eighth is what I offered. And you said no, you really wanted the fourth. But really, you should have taken the second, the fifth, and the eighth if you were wanting to get the second round pick that badly for Zaire. Because at this point...
Remember that.
Remember what?
The counter of second, fifth, and eighth.
I didn't send it through. I just asked you about it on Snap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, on I just Snapchat. Straight up don't even remember.
Oh.
Damn.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I did, and I don't think you like that. But you know, after thinking about it more and like, you know, putting it, I sometimes like to just type it out the thought and just like see how it looks on there. It once you like read it aloud, sometimes it sounds different than just like thinking about it. So like last year he was a sixth round pick and he probably would have made it to 7-8, maybe even the ninth round if I hadn't started drafting IDP and screwing up the draft so early. In his current dynasty value or ADP in a dynasty startup is 111, which is the beginning of the ninth round. So like at this point I would give you like a fourth and an eighth for him, and I feel like even that's potentially still an overpay, just because like there are still plenty of good draftable IDP players out there. Like Zaire Franklin is obviously going to be top of the line there, but there's still I still have T.J. Watt dominating. I had that advantage at the defensive line. I have a really I had a top 10 linebacker in Quincy Williams, a top 20 in Robert Spillane. So I'm really just looking for, you know, another one or two. And if I can find just, you know, one or two that are top 20, you know, in like the third or the fourth or the fifth round, depending on when IDP starts coming off the board this year, I feel like that would just be the smarter move rather than trading that high a draft capital for an IDP player. I think it would be different if it was just a three-round draft this year and the IDP, like, availability was different. Like, if this was, like, next year and after a lot of this IDP is saturated up and if there's not a lot left over, I'm not really sure just because I've never done this. I've never done IDP until last year, and I've never obviously done this much IDP. So, like, I'm just not sure how worth it it is. So if it was, like, a third round draft pick, that's different because, you know, he would have a higher premium on it, but with like there being so much availability, you know, if he was in this year's draft, I think he would probably be a fourth or fifth round draft pick probably.
Yeah, agreed.
So I personally think the 4 and the 8 is pretty fair because you're getting the fourth round value, which is already, you're already gaining value from where you drafted him. You're getting value from where you drafted him, and you're also getting another late pick. And I don't think people should sleep on like the 8th round picks in our draft. I think they're going to be fairly valuable. I'm not saying like everybody's going to draft someone of value right there, but I think a few people will.
Reed, are you looking to get in the second round?
Yes.
Well, you know, I got two of them. So we can negotiate.
Yeah, well,
I'm down. Yeah, I'm open for business, man.
3 and 08.
Mm-hmm. Very, very valuable.
Yep. So I guess that we'll transition right there to the other trade. The trade talks that have been going on. So this trade has me and Brady have been talking about this trade for gosh, probably 3 months now, at least. I don't know, probably since basically the season ended. I think maybe since before the season ended. I don't know, it's been a hot minute.
For sure.
And so the trade we initially talked about and agreed to was me sending the 102 in exchange for 106, 203, and 303, which is a totally fair deal. I've actually seeked some outside opinions on that, and I found that maybe I'm even getting screwed out of that maybe I'm not getting enough, is what one person said. I don't know. I don't really agree with that. But, but... Brady now wants a third round pick, and just the way I look at it is I'm not trading the number two pick in the draft for a couple of pick swaps and a third round pick. That's not a good return on my value.
I'd like to explain my reasoning on that too. So I'm going to rebuild go ahead. Here. And your initial offer, let me pull this up here, was my first round pick, second and third. I'm like, okay. So I counter for just a second.
All right.
And my first. Right, well,
I think we should mention the numbers on these because the numbers are important, just especially since there are so many so many picks going back and forth.
So the 106. Yeah. Okay, so, the 106. Okay, so you're asking for the 1, 2, and 3 in a rebuild for me, and there's not much of a talent discrepancy between the second and sixth pick for me to justify giving up multiple picks. Like, I'm not trying to give the farm up for four selections. Like, that's just not worth it to me. Like, four draft picks, like, there's a good chance that there's a player there that I value almost as equally at 2 as there is at 6. Like, it's really not much of a difference, and it's just not worth giving up a second and a third. Like,
it's a pretty decent sized difference. There's a pretty good tier drop off between like the top. At once you hit like 4, you go to that next tier. I kind of think
I liked. Let's see. Hold on.
I mean, this was a trade you'd already said sounded good and you liked. It was 106, 303, and 203.
My understanding was you said and a third when we were talking at Reed's. I wasn't aware you were asking for a second round pick. Which, I mean, I get it. I like the last one.
It was always first, second, and third.
Not the very last one, obviously. But the second to last one was my favorite offer. Yeah, 208, the 303, and the 106 for the 2. I liked that one a lot. I was pretty close to accepting that one. And I, you know, we're in negotiations, so I kicked back like, hey, third round pick swap maybe. I mean,
yeah, know, but I can't do, I can't, you gotta look at it like, for me though, I can't do a pick swap for a third
sure,
round pick
but
swap
like,
and
for sure
the second round pick. That's just makes no sense at all.
Okay, you know? But then your last trade made absolutely no sense, which means ended negotiations right there, which I'm fine with.
I think it made fine sense. It's the same. It's the same trade that we had already agreed to a few months ago, and I even threw in a 9th round pick.
Yeah, but that's when the draft comes after. Like a few months ago, did like after draft season changes so much with player value and just like where they got drafted, and the depth chart's not even out yet either. Like, these players gain more value over time, especially over training camp, where you see they're at on the depth chart. Like, there's a lot of value. I have a board I'm looking at, like, I'm following. Like, I like that second-to-last offer a lot. Like, I feel like we could have built off a little bit more. I mean, I was just throwing, like, I mean, we're in negotiations, you know, like, you know, obviously, you know, you would say, no, that's fine. I was expecting, like, to build off of that one. And then you threw the other one out. I'm like, I can't do that. But, you know, I mean, we're months away, too, so it's not like we're not going to pick up
all right,
negotiations
so
again.
Since you were close, with the, for me sending the 102 and the one with the 208, the 303, and the 106, you said you were close with that one?
Yeah, you send the 102, and I send the 208, the 303, and obviously the pick swap, the 106. That was the one I was very close on. So
okay,
like,
so what if I throw in the late round pick on that one? On that one?
How late?
The best I can do is an 8th.
An 8?
Yeah, I'll move up from a 9th to an 8th.
You couldn't do a 7?
I don't know. I'm already going down to the 208 on the second rounder from the 203.
I mean, it's negotiation. You know what I mean? All I say is, like, we can build off this. I'm intrigued by the 8. Let's, you know, we can think more on that. I like that offer a lot.
What about a 208, still with the 208. The first, an 8th, and Parker Washington?
And who?
Parker Washington. He's got a real good chance to take a step forward in Jacksonville this year. Maybe be like the number 2 or 3 guy there. There's going to be a lot of targets open with Calvin Ridley gone.
Okay, hold on. You would be sending, sorry, the 2 and Parker Washington for...
And an 8th. The 8th rounder.
So... and a kickback.
So the 2 picks so... and Parker.
So yeah, the 2, the 8, and Parker.
Yeah.
What position? He's a receiver, right?
Yeah. Second year.
Is he on your...
He's not on taxi, no.
I'm not gonna lie.
He didn't get a lot of playing opportunity until late in the year. He only got to play in a couple of games due to injury. But when he played, when he was on the field a lot, he was good.
I'm just, oh shit, my thing froze real quick. 1 second. Okay.
Let me see if I can pull him up.
I don't know if I particularly want him, but, you know, we're really close here. Like, I don't know why my thing just froze. Let me bring it back up.
Amari DiMercato?
Oh, let me look.
Handcuff for James Conner?
Do what?
DiMercato, so you have the handcuff for Conner?
Yeah, I don't he's going to be the third back behind Trey Benson though. I don't think he's going to get much of a run at all this year unless they get major injuries. I'd almost be more interested in a receiver, personally, but...
I don't know who I'm going to want to part with on my receivers here after Parker, personally.
Yeah, understandable. I mean, you do got some good depth there. Okay, so where we're at would be the second to last. The eighth, you'd be kicking two, eight, and a player. I mean, I don't even know if I want a player, honestly, at that caliber.
I mean, you got to think, though. He's a guy with upside, you know. If he does get a chance, you know, to, like, show his stuff this year, he might look really good. He might have a chance to be really good. Because, I mean, he did have a and just playing 59% of the snaps there late in the season, had a 22-point game, 14-point game. Then he had some lower games, but that was also when I forget who it was came back from injury. I think it was Zay Jones, maybe? Whichever Jones it is that was down there in Jacksonville last year. I don't know. I think let me see when he was drafted in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any kind of intel? Any kind of intel on who Derek wants to draft?
No, man. And I was looking for, what's his Twitter handle? Because I was looking for that today and I couldn't find it.
Let me. I'll actually pull it up for you. Sweet. Okay, he's fine. The official Gene Taylor fan club. Hold on. God damn it. Okay. The capital all official Gene Taylor fan club account at Derek Lickey. Love me some Gene Taylor.
Yeah.
He's a goof.
Yeah, so, well, we're gonna have to scour his page and definitely make sure to check and see, because I've been very curious myself, because I'm like that. I think that would depend a lot on just this trade going through too, you know.
Yeah,
I've thought about, you know, because, like, mean, if it's obvious, he's, I have a pretty good idea of what, if you get the 2 and 3, who you want to take, and if that person's not going to be there, I would understand why you wouldn't want to make the deal.
Well, I think everybody knows. I mean, first player I would select would be Malik Nabers. If he's taking him, I'd be a little upset.
I think you want to go Malik Harrison or Malik and then QB.
It's one of those two, for sure. Quarterback's very very valuable. But, you know, it's all early, you know. So, but, yeah, just having that. I think, you know, we're really close. I like the eighth kickback. I more likely will accept that offer.
All right. Well, we got about 3 minutes before we got to wrap this up. So got about 30 seconds. Decide right now or the trade's gone forever. I'm just kidding. You can,
Oh, God.
Say no.
Like meme where he's, like, sweating at the fucking panel like he didn't know what button to press. Like, oh, fuck.
Oh, man. Yeah. Verbal meme.
How about you just kick me back CD and we'll call it a deal?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no biggie. Sounds great. Deal done.
All right, man.
Just send me Dak and Lamar.
Fuck yeah. You know, I'll just send you my whole roster. How about that?
All right, sounds good.
Give you all my picks. Oh, shit.
For CD, that sounds fair. Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, actually, to be on a real note, though, since Blake Corum's RB1 now, how much do you value Kyren?
Blake Corum's RB1 now? What? Huh?
Yeah.
Is that official?
Kyren can't even stay healthy. Missing already OTAs.
What are you talking about? Dude, shut the fuck up. This fucking guy.
You haven't heard about his foot?
You didn't hear about that?
What happened?
Dude, he hurt his foot.
Brother.
Bro, I sent this on Twitter days ago.
Oh, yeah, I know he's having a foot problem. He had a foot problem last year. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, he's injury prone, bro.
I'm not worried about it.
I'm literally not worried about it. You will be worried about that.
You better draft that corn, bud.
You sure about that?
Pressing that button. You better be running to Roger Goodell with that card, bro.
Kyren is good. Don't you guys worry about Kyren. Kyren is
we're
fine.
Fucking
guys, shut up.
Really,
to
we're
me,
really
pressure me into spending draft really picks on Blake Corn.
I would do it.
I'm sure you are worried.
I would be. I would be fucking scared. I'd be so fucking scared.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be scared if I tried to tank and still couldn't get the last pick, is what I would be scared of.
Shit, I didn't know how it's going to work out anyway. You know what? Through that season, I just want to fucking whoop someone's ass, and I played you, and I just had to. I'm sorry. I could not resist. But here we are.
Here we are.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I love the shit talk.
Me too.
It's great. Fantasy football season's back. I mean, I love that the draft just happened. We get all these conversations to talk about, all these players that are going places. You know, it's fun. We're gonna have a great off season to talk about all these things, and just really excited.
Me
really
too.
Excited to
so
shit on all y'all.
You wish.
So on that note, we are going to go ahead and wrap things up here. Thank you again for everyone for tuning in. We do appreciate it. Please subscribe everywhere at ZBR Sports, which is also our Twitter handle. If you want more Brady, you can find him on Twitter at Brady Belkamp. If you want more Reed, you can find him at MINN_sportsfan. And if you want to block me and tell your family to stay as far away from me as possible, you can do so at ZachGotThatDog. And with that, guys, we say goodbye to you guys for this week and see you guys next time.
Shitbag lizard people.
The bro's QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, when you crunch numbers, who the fuck's Jennifer?